This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as today we continue our study on the all-sufficiency of the Bible. Friends, we've already emphasized the fact that the Bible teaches in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired of God, and that it is able to furnish man completely unto every good work. I realize that every one of us has problems. I realize that each of us strives to work out those problems in his own life in the best way he can. I go into various bookstores and I see all kinds of books that are what we call self-help books. How to do this, how to do that, how to be happy, how to overcome fear, how to overcome worry, and so forth. How to make your marriage great. And all of these may very well have their place. But I want to emphasize in this series of lessons that it is the Bible that is really the help that man needs in this life. All Scripture is inspired of God, and the Scripture is able to furnish man completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Last time we had begun a story of the consideration of the all-sufficiency of the Bible as pertains to morality. Of course, every one of us faces the problem of how to decide what is right and what is wrong. You know, there has been a real change in our nation during my lifetime. It used to be, of course, that people argued, of course, about what was right and what was wrong, that is, according to the moral code they recognized. But the situation that we're facing now is that men and women are even denying there is a moral code. It used to be the case that any woman would do almost anything to hide the truth that she had become an adulteress. And now they get on national television and brag to the world about their latest paramour. They tell about living with this man and then living with that man and so forth. And there seems to be no shame at all involved in the disclosure of such activities. And we have considered some of the various philosophical ethical systems that have led to people having that kind of viewpoint. And now we have come to pointing out that the Bible is the true ethical theory, the true ethical viewpoint, I should say, that all men, all women, and all boys and girls should follow. The basic view of what is right, that is to say of a thing that it is right, is to say that it is in harmony with God's will, recognizing that the Bible is the will of God revealed to man. And so, last time I had pointed out two things about the ethic of Jesus Christ. Number one, it is a revealed, not a speculative religion. It is a revealed, not a speculative ethic. It isn't something that we simply sit down and figure out philosophically. It is something that God has revealed to us. The works of the flesh are revealed to us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And we find in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, a list or catalogs of terrible, heinous sins. These things are matters of revelation from God. Secondly, it is a metaphysical ethic. That is, it depends on the view of man, of man's needs, of his nature, of his relation to God. That man is created, not evolved. That man is free. He has free will. He is not determined. He's not like a rock, just subject to his physical environment. But that man has abused that freedom and therefore has fallen into sin, as we learn in Romans chapter 3, verse 11. And man is rational. He can weigh evidence. He can determine evidence and weigh that evidence and draw the right conclusion. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that we should prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. In the next place, we note that the Christian ethic, that is, the ethic revealed in the Bible, is an absolute, not a relative ethic. Now, there are, of course, areas of choice. There are areas in which human judgment must be exercised. But the point that we're making here is, when the Bible enjoins a course of action, when it lays it upon man as an obligation, it is absolute. But our time is gone for today, and we'll consider this in more detail next time. I do hope that you'll be with us. I've been glad that you've been in our audience today, and I do hope that you will be blessed by the Lord until we meet again.